Since expanding its programming to a weekly series, the Sunset Film Society continues this month at the El Paso International Museum of Art with screenings of three classic dramas. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Here to chat about the Sunset Film Society's April lineup is film historian and Sunset Film Society president, Jay Duncan. Morning, Jay.
Good morning, Kyle. Thank you for having me.
So it should be said right off the bat that there won't be a movie today because
right.
we have the return of the Kremlin.
It's another kind of red letter day because the Kremlin returns to the International Museum of Art today and tomorrow. So we hope everybody comes out to that.
Mm-hmm. But we'll be picking up with a screening next week with Rebecca. And it's something that I noticed, and then maybe it sort of parallels April weather, but you started off, you know, early this month with the screening of Some Like It Hot, and then, you know, that's so light and fun, and then you go to Rebecca.
Yes.
Which is the complete opposite. And it's such a dynamic with, like, the hot, cold weather.
Well, yeah. And of course, in El Paso, as we know, there was, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, there was snow in the northeast part of town. And I heard Dennis say on the air that within an hour, we've experienced spring, summer, fall, and winter. So, you know, in this part of the woods, you can expect anything.
And Rebecca is a great thing to expect.
Well, what's unique about it, too, I think, is that it's Alfred Hitchcock's first American film. And it was his only film in his prestigious history of filmmaking as a noted director to ever win Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And I always wondered if that affected him in some way, you know, kind of coming right out of the box in this country, winning Best Picture and Best Cinematography, and then becoming a legend. You know, a lot of people would go to see a Hitchcock movie not really even caring who the stars were. You know, they'd go. He was as big a celebrity as his actors, but he never achieved that again. And I kind of liken it to what it must have been like for Orson Welles in Citizen Kane. You know, I mean, he kind of came out starting at the summit, and then where do you go from there? But anyway, he had a wonderful career, and there's just many, many films that we all engage in and enjoy seeing over and over again.
A nice sort of contemporary to Rebecca, I think, for younger viewers to connect it to is Crimson Peak. It's mm-hmm. kind of a gothic tale. You have these sort of elements of horror to it.
Right, right. It's suspense. It has an element of mysticism, maybe even a supernatural element. He's perfectly suited to the subject matter. And, of course, Daphne du Maurier, the authoress of Rebecca, was a choice for Hitchcock later in his career for The Birds, so, you know, based on her story. So it was a good fit, I think, and you have these little-known actors, you know, like Laurence Olivier and Joan Fontaine and George Sanders, you know, whatever became of those folks, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was it's well worth seeing. It's from 1940, and again, his only Best Picture winner in the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm. For the next picture that you swing to on April 23rd is The Third Man.
There you go.
Orson Welles.
Yes. In many ways, it seems like an Orson Welles movie as a director, but he was just hired as an actor. But it has his earmarks all over it. Mm-hmm. Carol Reed, who is a man, by the way, C-A-R-O-L, but still, a noted British director, directs him. And again, you know, you have Joseph Cotten and Trevor Howard and Valli, and a good film noir with wonderful black and white cinematography. And of course, it was an Oscar winner for that very thing.
Yeah.
And the zither music, written
yeah,
by
the score.
I mean,
by far my favorite element of
the
movie.
Oh, it's just wonderful. And how many times do you hear a zither in a movie? You know, but it really works in this case. It's all set in Vienna, post World War II, and so you have all the actual bombed out ruins and so forth going on. Just, you know, again, this is 1949, so it's pretty fresh, mm-hmm. and just a wonderful film noir classic, I think. And I hope everybody comes out for it.
The last film we'll be showing is The Red Shoes, which is a Michael Powell drama.
From the Archer Company, yeah. Noted for, you know, such films as Peeping Tom and Tales of Hoffman and a lot of these wonderful and in some cases very off-kilter thematically, but usually just stupendously brilliant in the cinematography and the storytelling and so forth. And this is one of the prime examples. If you've never seen three-strip Technicolor on a big screen, this is a chance because it was Jack Cardiff. It was just absolutely gorgeous. It was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, and it won for color, art, decoration, and the music score. And if you're not into dance, you should still come see it because of the filmmaking and the storytelling. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful film from Britain from 1948.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I think a nice contemporary to that one, if you wanted to maybe binge something before and then come check out. A parallel would be Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan,
yes,
which I think borrows heavily from that
I think
movie.
So, too. And thematically, it's dark. It's not all fun and happiness. There's elements of tragedy. And I think you're right. I think it does borrow very heavily from it. And, of course, it was Maura Shearer's debut, a wonderful actress and ballerina. Just a terrific British cast, Robert Helpman and Anton Walbrook and Marius Goring. And it just it's a must-see film, as are the others.
Mm-hmm. Something that I find very interesting is that you're also showing a serial before each film, which is the complete opposite of binge-watching culture.
That's true. That's true. It's kind of old school in the sense that it's kind of fun to replicate in some degree what it was like going to the movies, you know, up until, say, the 70s. Before home video and Beta and VHS and all and laser and so forth, you could see a cartoon, a newsreel, a travelogue, a serial chapter, and previews of coming attractions. And now you go and see 30 minutes of commercials, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe some previews. But I don't care about seeing Coke advertised in a movie theater. But I know they pay the movie theaters and the complexes and so forth money to run it. But It's like what you went away from television to avoid seeing in a movie theater, and now you're seeing it in a movie theater. But hey, that's just the way of the world.
Yeah. And then something else is that you before expanding to a weekly program, you had a monthly series at Artovino Cesar Crossing.
Well, it's still ongoing. We still show movies at Artovino's the third Sunday of every month at noon, whereas our showings at the museum are at 2. And I'm glad you mentioned that because we have a real winner for film buffs this month on the 17th, which is Cinema Paradiso. Mm-hmm. And this is the nearly three-hour cut that was not shown in America. And it was finally, I think, assembled and re-released in 2000 by the director. And it's just a love tome, I think, for movie fans. It's set in, it flashes back all over the place, but set shortly after World War II in Italy, has to do, the Cinema Paradiso is a movie theater in this little village, and has this little boy and his hero worship to the projectionist, and, you know, how they get along and what leads and when the little boy grows up and things that happen and so forth. And I think if you're into loving movies, and if you're into foreign films, it won Best Picture, Best Foreign Film from 1988, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely worthwhile. And you have a terrific Ennio Morricone music score, too. So, I mean, hey, it's a win-win-win. And it's at noon on the 17th, which is a Sunday. And, you know, the thing at Artovino's, too, you can choose to have brunch and maybe a drink or just a Coke or a soft drink or something, too, in the atmosphere of this wonderful restaurant that you feel like you've traveled great distances to go to without having left town. You know, it just has a different ambiance there in Sunland Park. Very historic, very laid back, and invite everybody to come out and check that out, too.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just kind of curious, what other movies have you seen in the past couple of weeks that you want to recommend to me?
Whoa, you're asking the wrong person. I have to plead guilty that I haven't seen any of the current movies probably now. It's been maybe 2 or 3 months, so I have a lot of catching up to do. There are certainly some that I want to see and I want to catch up on. Yeah, I'm not so old school that everything new is crummy. No. There are gems out there. I'm just not a big fan of sequels of films that I made a point to miss originally, or remakes, generally speaking, though there have been exceptions, mm-hmm. that equal or maybe add another dimension to. But it's kind of fun showing classics and by classics it could be up until like in this case on Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah, it's,
you know, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean that to me is yesterday, but I know to some people that's 20 some years ago. So a classic, it doesn't really mean age so much, I think, as if it endures and if it's worth seeing over and over again and maybe learning something from or seeing other levels, you know. So I have to plead guilty. I haven't seen anything currently. But do you have any recommendations?
I saw 2001 again recently, and I've just been kind of mauling over that one.
Sure.
And I think that's the type of film that you should revisit at least once a year because there's a lot to unpack there.
It was so ahead of its time. You mean the original 1968 Kubrick film, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, at the time, I think everybody just kind of left the theater with their chin scraping on the floor or the ground because they had never seen such images before, and thematically people were still scratching their head and say, well, what does it mean? And now it's not so much what it means as what you think it means, you know. And if you've read The Sentinel, which is Arthur Clarke's short story that it's based on, you kind of know what it means. It's more enigmatic in the film. But what a wonderful visual experience it is. And of the – I think it's 161 minutes. I think it's 37 minutes of dialogue. Yeah. It's all visual and wonderful classical music. Mm-hmm. So, it's a strong recommendation to anybody that wants to see what can be done. And they invented – things that had never been done before for that film, and Douglas Trumbull on the effects and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good choice.
So do you have anything planned for next month?
Absolutely. And there's a mouse in my pocket, I know. We, as in me, myself, and I, and Mitzi over at the International Museum of Art, have met with the council from Poland, Spain, and France. And they had Poland hadn't before, but France and Spain had presented movies in association with the Sunset Film Society and the International Museum of Art in the past. And they wanted to maybe look toward having like a little mini international film festival between the three countries. And so we'll be doing that in May. It should be very exciting. And on the 7th of May, there'll be a representative film from each of the three countries, so they'll be short enough to fit within that, you know, 1 to 5, even though we start from 2 to 5 normally, with a little brief intermission in between. And, of course, we do sell theater-popped popcorn and drinks and candy and so forth, too, very, you know, like a dollar. So there'll be an opportunity to get a sampling of some classic films from three of those countries, which could lead to bigger and better things in the future, you know. So that's what I like about working with people that want to push the envelope and test ideas and themes and things that they hadn't tried before, because, you know, the International Museum of Art, too, is historic. It was the original Turney residence in El Paso, and it's an example of Trost architecture. So, you know, people should just be familiar with it and just plan on coming to see the exhibits. It's closed on a Monday and Tuesday, but open Wednesday through Sunday to come out and see what's going on, because there's a lot of good things going, and not just the film series, but exhibits. And like I mentioned, you know, of course, we have the Kermazar back this weekend. So come on down. 1211 Montana Avenue.
I've been discussing the Sunset Film Society's April lineup with Jay Duncan. The Sunset Film Society will present Alfred Hitchcock's Rebecca at 2 p.m. on Saturday, April 16th at the El Paso International Museum of Art, located at 1211 Montana Avenue. The Society also continues its monthly screening series at Art Avino's Desert Crossing with Cinema Paradiso, which won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film at noon on Sunday, April 17th. For more information, check out sunsetfilmsociety.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. Thanks for listening to On Film.